I wonder how you feel today about Father's Day. Now, for many of us, we know it's an emotive day for a whole range of reasons. You know, we make space in our service to pray and we've thanked God for those who have fathered us or been like fathers to us. But for the next few minutes, we're going to really focus in on our Heavenly Father, the one we all share, the Heavenly Father we celebrate today, the Heavenly Father whose arms we can rest in this day, a Father who comes running towards us with open arms, who responds to our needs, who whispers our identity again and again over us. You are my child. A Father who is there in both the highs and the lows. The Father who takes us by the hand. The Father who helps us stand. A Father who teaches us as we grow up in our faith. A Father who picks us up every time we've tried to walk and fallen. A Father who encourages us to try again. A God who loves us and never lets us down. Even when we muck it up, He stays faithful to us. That sounds like a Father we can all celebrate today. A Father who bids us come to Him and find refuge in His arms today. Now today we are jumping into one of Jesus's most well-known parables, a story we all probably know very well. But what might God want to say afresh to us this day? What detail might we see for the first time? See, the Pharisees and the scribes had been grumbling about the company Jesus was keeping. These tax collectors, these sinners. And Jesus responds in Luke 15 with three stories. First of all, he tells the story of a lost sheep, how Jesus leaves 99 safe sheep in the pen and goes out to find the one that is missing. The second story about a lost coin, a precious coin, which a woman seeks for until she finds. And here in the third story, the parable which we so often call the parable of the prodigal son. Perhaps it should be named the forgiving father, or the two lost sons. What might God want to show us about who He is as our Heavenly Father? What might we need to be challenged about this morning if we are to live more fully as His children in the world we inhabit? Now, in Jesus' story, there's a father with two sons. The younger comes to him and asks to receive his inheritance now. He didn't want to wait till his father passed to receive what he felt was his right. You know, the younger son says, "As good as, Father, I wish you were dead, in order that I might get what I think I deserve." I don't know how you would respond, but this father responds in love. He splits his property between his two boys. He watches the younger son pack up his possessions, take this new inheritance and leave. The son goes off to a far country, we're told, and spends everything on reckless living. Carefree life, whatever he wants, when he wants it, parties with no thought for the future or long term. And what happens is he spends the end of his money while a severe famine strikes the place he lives. No money, no food, no hope, no plan. What does this younger son end up doing? Well, he seeks employment on a pig farm. Now, for us, that might just sound a little bit grim. You can't think of anything worse than perhaps working on a pig farm. But for the original audience, the Jewish audience, this was totally outrageous. Pigs were unclean animals, forbidden to be eaten, forbidden for contact. And yet here this boy in his desperation turns to work on a pig farm. He finds himself literally in the dirt, longing even to eat the food the pigs are eating. What a desperate situation. When he can bear it no longer, when the mess he's created offers no way out, what does he decide to do? Well, he decides to come back to his father's home. He makes a plan. He thinks it through. He knows he probably can't come back as a son. He thinks he's totally blown it. But perhaps if he was to travel back, so he thinks, he could offer himself as a servant in his father's house. You know, he works out the script. He figures out the apology. What is going to be the ask? Father, I know I've mucked up. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be your child. Where do we recognise those words from in our service? The son continues, but please let me be as one of your hired servants. And so the younger son begins a long walk home. Now, in the distance, his father sees him coming. Perhaps he's been watching, hoping for this day. And when the father sees his precious son in the distance, he felt compassion. Remember from last week, that word that's like gut-wrenching emotion that forces us into action. Filled with compassion, the father sees his son and runs towards him. The scandal, this grown man running in public, the show of emotion. And as he reaches his son, he throws his arms around him, not to punch him in the face as some might think he had deserved, but instead to throw his arms around his body, to embrace him, to weep on him, to kiss him, to rejoice. Notice, if you want your Bibles open, the son begins his rehearsed apology. And notice what happens. The father cuts him off. He asks for others to bring a robe, a ring, new shoes. The father calls for a cow to be killed in order for a feast to be prepared. There must be a party tonight because the boy who I thought was dead is alive. The one who was lost is found. His boy has come home. It's time to celebrate. What a turnaround. The lost son, in desperation, began the walk home. You can imagine he's sold everything he had. He's wasted all his money. His clothes from working with the pigs must really stink. His shoes have probably been walked through from the journey. And in this father's embrace, what does he receive? Not just a warm welcome home, new clothes, new shoes, a new ring, all of which points to his position once more as his son. There's transformation in the embrace, a celebration of homecoming. There's a new identity reinforced. But before we get excited about the praise party, let's not forget about the other son, the second lost son. See, the older boy is out in the fields working. He misses this grand reunion. And as he returns from a day's work, he hears music, he sees bright lights, he sees dancing, and he asks the servant, what's going on? The servant says, your brother is home. There's a party to celebrate. How does the older son respond? He's angry. He refuses to come in. His father goes out to find him, to ask what's wrong. It's not fair, says the older brother. I've always served you. I never disobeyed the rules, and you've never given me anything. This brat has come back. He spent everything you gave him on reckless living, and you're giving him VIP treatment, Dad. It's not fair. Where was my party? Where was my goat? Why did you never give me anything? How does the father respond? My child, you were always with me. All that was mine is yours. We're celebrating tonight for your brother who was dead but is now alive. The lost has been found. Son, you never realised the resources that were open to you. The riches I would have shared if you'd only asked. You've taken for granted my presence with you. Perhaps you were too busy lamenting what others receive rather than standing in the blessing that was always yours to own. Too busy watching instead of recognising what was in front of you. With that, Jesus concludes. And perhaps frustratingly, we don't know what happens next. Did the older boy come in? Or did he stay huffing outside the party? too angry at the celebration for his brother, too jealous of the outpouring of love, bitter for the change in status of his brother, angry that his father would seek to bless those who had walked away but were now home. It's interesting because we love this story, and if you're anything like me, we like to read ourselves in as the son that went away and come back. And in part, that is true for all of us. We were all lost in our sin, in a mess of a situation we probably helped create with our own reckless actions, attempts to do life our way, who then came back and have been found in the embrace of the Father. But actually, if we're honest, we're often a bit like the older brother too. We watch the blessings God pours out on others and question whether they deserve it. We grumble about what we're going to get for being more faithful than others. We remember the times that others, like the younger brother, muck it up. We question whether these people really deserve to know God's goodness too. How do we respond today to our Heavenly Father's forgiveness and generosity? I wonder where you are in this story. Do you need to let your walls come down in order to come into the party God is throwing for all those who were far from home who have come back? Do some of us perhaps need to stop grumbling and crying outside because we think it's not fair how generous and gracious our Heavenly Father is? What might God want to say to us today about what it means to be his children? Where are you at in the story this morning? It's a familiar story. Sometimes we think it's just a story for children, but if we're honest, it's deeply challenging for all of us. What might God want to say to us today, 2020 years later, in East London or wherever you are watching from this morning? What might be the story for us to think about? Well, firstly, where are you in the journey? Are you making an attempt to do life your own way? How's that working out for you? Are you fulfilled? Are you constantly looking somewhere else for happiness, satisfaction, purpose, meaning, hope? Are you drowning in your own pig farm of a mess, wondering why you even started out on the path? Perhaps you're trying to figure out how to get back home. Perhaps you've worked out the apology. You've come up with what you think the conditions that God might take you back on are. I just want to talk straight. Come back home. The Father's watching for you, ready to run towards you, to embrace you. You got to step out in faith today. Begin that journey with Jesus. He's waiting, ready to clothe you afresh, to speak words of hope and identity over you. Please don't stay on the farm with the pigs in the mud, wondering about what you're going to eat or turn to next. Because God has a perfect plan for your life. Come back to him today. His arms are open. Don't delay it anymore. Come home to your Father's arms today. Secondly, I wonder how you see yourself today. You see, the son on the pig farm thought he'd blown it. He thought he couldn't go back as his father's son, but maybe he could be like a servant in his father's house. When we come to God, though, everything changes. The old is gone, the new is here. We love to sing that song, "I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand." In our reading from Romans that Manny read today, Paul made it clear, when we come to Christ, we die to sin. We live in freedom. There's a transformation that happens. There's a fundamental status shift. See, Christianity isn't about bad to good. That's a really nice story that we like to tell ourselves, but it's not the gospel. It's not a story of bad to good. It's death to life. You were dead in your sin, dead in your mess, but in Jesus Christ you are made alive, free to know life in all its fullness, freed from the past, freed from mistakes, free from the lies and hard words that have been spoken over you, free to know your true identity and purpose. Your Heavenly Father is speaking over you. Your Heavenly Father created you for a purpose and a time such as this. When we come to Christ, we are freed from how we have been seen by others. We are freed from the past, freed from the death of sin. We are made alive in Jesus. The Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, together speaks words of love and affirmation over us. Now, if you were here with us last week, you'll remember we saw in Romans 5, Paul telling the church in Rome that as believers we are justified by faith alone. We know peace with God, we have VIP access into the throne room of heaven, and we have hope in the glory of God who will come through for us. We saw that our salvation is about what Jesus has done. It's not about what we do. We can't earn our salvation. But the actions of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary mean we can live in freedom today. Today in Romans 6, Paul takes that argument a little bit further. See, he says we come to God as we are. We come back to him with our perfect apologies figured out, and then God runs towards us with open arms. He loves us as we are, but he loves us way too much to let us stay that way. You see, instead change happens, transformation comes now and not just in eternity. When we come to God, we turn our lives around. We come to saving faith in Jesus. Paul says, sin has no more power over us. Jesus frees us from the chains of sin. We die to sin. We're buried with Christ. Something happens in our baptism where we're joined in with Christ's baptism, and therefore we rise again to new life in Jesus. Life that must look different. Now let's be clear. It doesn't mean we never sin. We all know that is just not true. But it means our attitude to sin should be different. If you've come to know Jesus as your Saviour, sin, therefore, no longer has the last word on your life. Death is not the end. Instead, Jesus dealt with your sin and my sin upon the cross. He paid the price for all of us that we might live in freedom now. But it means our whole attitude has to change. Our posture towards the ways of the world needs to be different. See, we're called to live holy lives. We just sung that. Lives set apart for God. It's not so much that we've got to live differently, but that we should want to. We want to please our Heavenly Father, to honour him. We don't just want to follow rules to earn our salvation. God already sorted that. We should want to live differently because we want to live as our Father wishes us to. It's not fear of eternity that pushes us to live God's way, but instead it should be from a place of gratitude and honour and love to the one who gave up everything for us to know his freedom. You know, Jesus at the cross made it possible for all of us to live free from sin, but some of us are getting busy trying to chain ourselves back up. We're chasing after the way of the world. We want immediate satisfaction now. Why should we wait? We're listening to the wrong voices. We're thinking we should know how it should go more than God. We're so busy trying to live the world's way of sin rather than stepping into the new freedom Jesus has won for you. You've been freed from the power of sin, but time and time, you're starting to feel the temptation to step back into it. You're giving sin a power that Jesus says isn't its to take. Because all of that stuff Jesus freed you from in the past, when we try and do things the way that we think are right, then we give sin and guilt and shame power over us that Jesus says isn't its to take anymore. What does living in sin look like? Well, it's when we begin to tolerate it. You know this isn't right, but compared to the past, Or, I know I shouldn't do this, but I know God forgives me. Or, hey, let me tell you what happened to me last week. I know I shouldn't have, but isn't it funny how when we laugh off our mistakes, our sin with our friends, when we know we shouldn't do something, but we do it anyway because we take for granted God's forgiveness. When we start to hold up a bar of, well, this isn't as bad as them or what I could do. You know, if we want to be serious about our faith, if we want to mature and grow up, if we truly want to worship and honour our Heavenly Father, we need to snap out of this sinful thinking. We're giving ourselves back to the power of sin. We're taking God's forgiveness for granted. We're exploiting the price Jesus paid for us upon the cross. We live in sin when we tolerate it, but we also live in sin when we don't try to progress against it. You know, some of us are lazy Christians. We know we're not living right, but we're making no attempts to measure up. We're not fleeing from temptation. We're not distancing ourselves from a past. Instead, we kind of revel in it a little bit. We like to tell the old stories. We kind of, if we're honest, like the old versions of ourselves. We miss the drama. We miss the excitement. And when we're a little bit bored, well, that's when we start looking for validation from others. When we think we know best, when we're frustrated with how things have played out, we start to talk a little bit like the older son. Don't you care about the cost Jesus has paid? Don't you want to live free now? Jesus has made it so sin has no power over you. Why do we keep giving sin control again? You know, sometimes our attitude would be a little bit like if Jesus' story had continued and Jesus had said, and after the party, the younger son really enjoyed being home. It was great. But then he started to think, hey, I want another party. What should I do? Why don't I go off again and take the money I now have, go and spend everything, get myself into a mess again, and then I know that I'll still be able to come back to my father because he's forgiving. And because he'll have missed me so much, he'll throw a massive party again. Let's do it. Now, we know that that sounds ridiculous, but that's so often the way that we come to our Heavenly Father. I can do this because God will forgive me. We take it for granted time and time again. What do we need to stop tolerating today? Where do you need to make progress? God knows we can't be perfect, but he does call for progress, to grow in our faith. What do we need to repent of? What do we need to flee from? Whose influence just needs cut out if you're going to be serious in your walk with Jesus? Where do you need to move forward? You've been made alive in Jesus. Stop trying to put the grave clothes back on. Stop cheapening Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross. Grace is a gift freely given, but it cost Jesus everything. Some of us value some of our possessions more than what we value the gift of salvation. You were bought at a price. Live in the freedom that has been given to you. Paul says, consider yourselves dead in sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation now. The old self has been crucified with Christ. Transformation has happened. The new is here. Let's live free, fully in him. I wonder what stops you living free today. Are you still in that wild, reckless living like the younger son, trying to figure your own way through it? Or is the barrier to living free your attitude towards your Heavenly Father? Are you like the older brother sulking outside the praise party happening? Are you jealous of the blessings God has poured out on others? Are you annoyed by God's generosity and grace to those you don't think deserve it? Are you waiting for God to realise he was wrong and you were right about something you don't agree with that was part of God's will? See, the elder brother didn't think his father's celebration and outpouring of love on his sibling was fair. He was so focused on what his brother has and had done that he failed to see all that was offered to him by his father. Where are we watching others and sulking and missing out on what God has put in our hands? Where has God been with us, fulfilling our needs, leading and guiding us to this point? Where do we need to have a reality check this morning? A refocusing, a reallowing of gratitude to overflow in us. See, God wants to give all his children good gifts, but some of us are too stubborn to receive the blessings of God. You know, it's almost impossible to give someone a present if they refuse to uncross their arms. Are you willing to let God all the way in today? Are you open to transformation? Are you open to living free instead of struggling under the demands of the world and what others put on you? God invites you into the celebration today, into his party where we celebrate the lost coming home. Don't stay outside watching on the sidelines, sulking. Come and step further into freedom today. God's not finished working his purposes out in you or in me or in any of us yet. Our Heavenly Father comes running towards us. He's filled with compassion. He sees us coming towards him. He's the one who does the running, arms open, full of love and forgiveness. He throws a party on your return home. He offers his presence to all who seek it. All he has can be yours if you dare ask him. How do you need to respond today? Is it time to come home? What do you need to give over to your Heavenly Father? What do you need to stop tolerating in your life? What does it mean for you to live free from sin? What are you laughing off that Jesus died to free you from? Don't you want to know true freedom in life in all its fullness today? Jesus died to save us from our pasts, to give us better futures, new identities, new purposes, new hope. Are you ready to step further into that today? Stop staying on the sidelines, watching when the praise party of heaven is going on. Come home, come in, move from death to life. Know the fullness of your Heavenly Father's love for you today. The Father who never disappoints, the Father who is always there, the one who comes running that you might know his embrace. Open your arms to him. Let him in and know the power of his transforming love in every part of your life. He's running towards you with open arms. How are you going to respond to your Heavenly Father this day?